All right, let's try that again. She was meant to be on Zoom, and I'm told she is. After that wonderful intro, guys, did you see how I did that? I did a throw forward to an interview we're going to be doing at 7 o'clock. I reflected on a WhatsApp message and literally segued into a conversation on grief tech, only to find that technology is not playing with us. So our team is busy making sure that she is online in order for us to have that conversation on grief tech. That interview with Ashraf Kasim, which is happening after 7 o'clock, will be reflecting on what needs to be done on those very many families who might be displaced now in Mitchell's Plain because of a planned cemetery that wants to be built, that needs to be built, according to some officials.
Hey, team.
That matter, of course, will be heard in the courts later today. I do hear Kirsty in the background. Kirsty, I did such a wonderful introduction to you, and I was going to ask why people are creating or making use of grief technology looking to create posthumous digital presences of their loved ones. Good morning to you.
Morning, Africa. And yes, that intro was so perfect. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you perfectly. Thank you very much.
Great.
Lovely to have you on your show.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. So grief tech, it falls under this kind of larger death care trend, which emerged to offer support and create and the solutions to people dealing with death. And it's currently worth about $100 billion globally. So this digital age has made coping with loss far more complex, right? As these kind of digital ghosts of people remain on social media and elsewhere on the internet. And some of us actually find solace in revisiting these online archives of our loved ones, especially in things like Facebook memory albums, but the content of these profiles is stuck very firmly in the past, kind of like a dusty photo album would be, right? So AI-powered tech is being used to develop these kind of chatbot avatars of people's deceased relatives and preserving their memories and helping them with grief. So what it does is that it lets people speak to relatives who have long passed. So what you would basically do is, while someone is still alive, is you archive them through interviews, through conversations, through questions, and you take many, many hours to teach AI about this person so that when they pass, they can answer further questions to you in their voice, in their likeness. And you can kind of still have a two-way conversation with someone who's passed, as opposed to just, you know, maybe a one-way conversation looking at a photograph or thinking of a memory.
I'm sure that brings potential comfort to a number of people, but it sends nothing but cold shivers down my spine, I must admit. My mom passed away in 2002. My grandmother passed away in 2008. And of course, they very much live in my memory, in my head. But I don't know if I would want to see an AI-generated image of them that enables them to speak to me.
So it speaks to kind of how we would want to mourn, right? I mean, there's definitely moral and ethical concerns that surround this technology. And the implications of creating these avatars for the deceased, perhaps without their permission, there's also a legal and moral issue here that some death tech companies have raised. But there's also kind of an element of it where, you know, psychologists and mental health professionals are looking at it going, is this the right thing to do? The implications of this are really under scrutiny, and it indicates, you know, this excessive reliance on an avatar, on a posthumous avatar, might actually hinder the ability to adapt to loss and prolong grief. So I think that, again, humans and technology need to work very closely together here to ensure that we don't fall into this false sense of this person is still alive, but this is actually just a piece of technology that I'm talking to.
Yeah. This is already happening, isn't it, Kirsty?
It is, yeah. So it's actually been around since about 2016, where a gentleman, he realized that his father had terminal cancer. So he developed a technology called hereafter.ai, which is one of the most successful death tech platforms at the moment. And what he started doing, knowing that his father was imminently passing away, was going, he actually got into a panic thinking, I don't know enough about my dad. So he started asking all these questions and thinking about all the potential questions that he would ask in the future. You know, he hadn't had children yet. What would I ask my father if I had children? What advice would he give me? And that's kind of how it started building. And then with the advent of AI in the last couple of months or years, it's really kind of been pushed forward, and how we're going to exist post our physical self.
I suppose each to their own, right? But as you say, there might be some ethical issues around, did you get permission of the person you want to create an image of in perpetuity ahead of doing that or not? Somebody on the WhatsApp line saying, Africa and Kirsty, it sounds like one of those creepy Black Mirror episodes. And there's some truth to that, isn't there?
That Black Mirror episode aired in 2013. It's crazy to see how it's coming to life now. But I think also what we need to consider, if this is a reality, you know, from an ethical standpoint, we need to actually consider, is this something that's going to go into our wills, our will and testaments? There's something called a digital do not reanimate clause, a DDNR, which is something that we need to consider. That we can say that our, you know, name and likeness and voice will not exist post our physical self. So, you know, just one more thing to add to the to-do list today.
Indeed. Kirsty, thank you very, very much. Kirsty Bissett is the MD of Have You Heard. Does this excite you? Does it, you know, make you awake and alive with possibility? Or are you as creeped out and scared about the prospect as I am? Happy to take your calls on 021 446 0567.